Gospel of John, chapter 6, 37. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to thee. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He began this morning to speak of the wondrous comfort and security to the people of God is this word, and how it confirms those sacred doctrines in which I trust we do believe. That there is a people whom the Lord has given unto Christ. They belong to Him, and they never will be parted from Him. Hell can never put a division, Satan can never put a separation between the Lord and His people. We read in the Old Testament in the prophecy, your sin has separated you from your God, but not eternally. Oh, how sometimes we have to mourn when He withdraws His help presence, but the covenant is still secure. This blessed word is the evidence of the covenant, which is sealed in the blood of Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He spoke of that blessed work of the Spirit, that way of mercy and grace in the new birth, in that grace once imparted in the soul can never be removed or overthrown. Found in these people, they would not come. They would not come but for grace. They would never seek Him. They would never be found in the way of seeking. If there weren't grace in the soul, grace of faith, the handmaidens of the Lord, bring a sinner unto Christ. It goes together, my friends, and cannot be separated. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And we spoke of the certainty of these things. It's one of God's shells. And I've spoken on behalf of the people of God, one of God's shells. And they shall come. They shall come out of necessity, but they shall be drawn by love, and they shall be led by grace. And this is the object of whom they shall come to, the blessed, glorified, harmless, sinless Son of the Father. This is the person they shall come to, the one who was crucified and who is now glorified, the one who shows the marks of the nails in his hands and in his feet and the sword mark in his side. This is the person they shall come to. He is presented by faith to them. My mind went in a split second there to that account of Yedi, a poor young man who was destitute of ability, but we understand what ability is. He lived in a loft and slept on straw. He had a blessing that you all want if you got grace. He saw your lovely man. This is the person. My friends, can you calculate the mercy? Can you ever describe the benefit? In a flash of a second, I was almost overcome with those words. I've seen your lovely man. This is the persons, these are the persons who come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The blessed, glorified one. And my friends, there is this, that they will be drawn, they will be led. they will have those appointed times in their spiritual life that come to him. Few but any come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. We quoted what's in the close of this chapter. To whom else can we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. My friends, if you are a sinner bad enough, you'll hang on those words. Because in those words is life eternal. In those words that he shall speak. Do you come to him to listen to his voice? I was thinking this day of often you hear of people speaking about this minister and that minister. And in that sense of the word, there is a sweet union between the people of God and between those of the Lord's servants that have gone to glory. How they recollect or is brought to their mind something that they preached when they was here on earth. And they can quote this verse and that verse at this time and that time. When these ministers who have gone to glory have been made a blessing to them. My friends, what I feel is more important than any minister's words. Gifted or gracious as he may be. That they may be, that we shall know and that each shall know the words of Christ. These are more important than any minister's words. Those things that have flowed from the lips of the Saviour. These things which he has communicated to you and to your soul when you've been brought to him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. My friends, if you excuse the simplicity, when you come, you don't come, but with your trials and your troubles, your sins and your iniquities. And the Holy Spirit will give you that grace and faith to pour them out before him. These are the characters who come to the Saviour. Black sinners, destitute sinners, cast down sinners. Sinners that know that without the Saviour there's no comfort, nor hope, nor mercy. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And my friends, I don't want to get into the pathway of these free willers, but you know, thou blessedly welcome. Thou welcome, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These that came to Christ in the days of his pressure, something to bring to him. They brought their burdens, their cares. They brought their trials and their troubles. And the wonder of it all is that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ dealt with them all. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Have you brought, my friends, and I say this in the uttermost reverence I command, have you brought your sins to him? You come like a burdened sinner at the footstool of mercy. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Nothing but grace, nothing but love shall I receive. This is how you come. You know, all this coming to Christ that some people advertise. My friends, you'll creep beside him as a worm and see him die for you. This is how you come. This is the glorious person that's now in heaven, that was crucified at Calvary, and they came to him from every quarter. They brought their sins, they brought their troubles, and they were never sent away empty. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You know the mountains which lie before us, forgotten mountains, the mountains of difficulty. I was in Sudley home last Monday. I was talking to a dear old man, not a resident, somebody who dropped in to read to them. And he was reminded me of a time under the ministry when the preaching was on this text. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places dried, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. And he said, that dear minister who preached said, what's your deepest valley? The valley of the shadow of death. That's the deepest valley which is before us. Every valley shall be exalted. But then what is every mountain and hill? What's the highest mountain that a child of God has before them? Well, you know what it is, my friends, if you're sensible. And sin, it's your iniquity, your transgression, and your sins. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Related to me, one or two things that me, a servant of God, had preached, but they remained with me. And it brought to my mind this, in this word that we have today as a text. These are the things that are laid before the Saviour. The valleys and the mountains, the hills' difficulties, the untrodden steps which are full of trepidation, full of fear, full of unbelief. My friends, what a blessed place it is to be found. Coming to him, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Where will be their repose? Where is the place, my friends, we would pray to know and long to be there and ask the Lord to put you there? Where Mary was found in the tenth of the Mary Saturday state, hearing his word. Where the sinner in the Pharisee's house was found. Where the mad Gadarene was found after restoration, healing, delivery. And he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. This is the place, my friends, where the people of God will be found. He must increase, I must decrease. He shall be exalted. And the Lord lay us in the right spirit and in the right place, low at his feet. This is how you come to him, my friends. All that the Father giveth me shall come to him, come to me. As a humble, contrite sinner, listening to his voice, hearing his word, longing to hear his voice, longing that he might speak into your soul. Like the woman in the Pharisee's house. She came with her sins and she went home with salvation. The Lord has spoken. And where the word of a king is, there's power. And in that word there was forgiveness, and in that power was pardon. And she went home from her house, from that house, with forgiveness. Indeed, first book of Samuel, we read of Hannah, who came into the temple of God with her burden. She was in bitterness of soul. Prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And her lips were marked by Eli, or her mouth was marked. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Secret prayer. But leaving aside the moment of Eli's indiscretion, for he understood not the complaint or the burden, he spoke very comfortably. He said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So we read this. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. That is the blessing, my friends, when you're found at this blessed place, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That sweet place of comfort and consolation to one's soul, where you can spread the matter before him who turns no coming sinner away. And my friends, there will be a time when you will come and you'll take up your face and you'll go home with your countenance no more sad. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We said this morning the coming is the leaving. We said also that such that come, they come as they are. No, there'll be no dressing up to go, my friend. You'll come just as you are. And that really is the way we must ever come to this blessed person. The Holy Spirit so teach you to pray, and you'll come with your petitions and your supplications, and you'll come plead in his name. We must get on. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So I read that 17th chapter because it speaks, as it were, in compliment to the word. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is the blessing, sinner, that these that come because they have life eternal, because they have that living work in the soul, which is of the Spirit of God. This is the people that shall possess. Thou come because thou are in need, and thou come because thou are living souls. But then we read this. There are other places in that 17th chapter that you might find reference to those whom thou hast given me. This people that we're trying to speak of. And then this. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. My friends, there will be a coming, and there will be no more to go out. In that lovely verse, in that 17th chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of glory. He speaks of that place where he is. He speaks of that gathering together where there's no separation. Father, I will that they also that thou hast given be with me where I am. My friends, that is the anticipation, that is the prospect, that is the promise which the Lord Jesus Christ more than once has emphasized, calls to be written in his word. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is coming to him. There will be a need, of course, to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. There will be a need, they that you pass through that Jordan of death. You enter into a blessed eternity, of which the people of God shall possess forever and forever the person of Christ, the glory of Christ, and the peace of Christ, which they have never known, never felt so sufficient before in time. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We feel that's a very sweet promise. Does it not encourage poor sinners to pray? Does it not give you strength? In this, it's a promise to plead. You know when the Lord gives a promise to his people, whether it's a personal promise upon their spirit, they can, and I say this very carefully, they can in all reverence remind the Lord of his promise. You know, that's the ground upon which a poor child of God can plead. Take with you words we read, and these are the words which the Lord enable you to take. You know, there's an eternal difference also. I thought today of those words that in no wise cast out. My friends, what a wonderful blessing that there's a person who won't cast you out. In the 53rd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, we have a word concerning Christ. A of which the child of God can understand. He is despised and rejected of men, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and with his, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Now that is his path. The path of a child of God is this: and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. As you know, in the 8th of the Romans, it speaks concerning the forgiven, pardoned sinner, that there's no condemnation for them because they're in Christ Jesus. This is the people that are his, and they're in him. And he died for them and took their sins upon himself upon the cross of Calvary. And at the end of the chapter, there's no separation. My friends, in the truth of these words, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. How often do we remember that in our petitions? How often are we to be reminded of these promises when we draw near to him? We draw near by faith, as enabled, we might draw near by a prayer at the mercy seat. But he has said, however you come and in what condition you come, those that feel the drawing of Christ come just as they are, but they rest on this promise that I'll not be cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Often they walk in pathways which they would have to freely admit they're cast down. This is the way, the tribulations of the pathway. This is what the effect of the trials are. There's a casting down. My friends, sometimes you have to venture upon this promise. It seems to me as if that's the only argument you have. When you creep, as it were, a venture to the throne of unchanging grace, in that cast down condition, the Lord so reminds you, the Lord so writes it upon your spirit that he has promised that in no wise these coming sinners shall be will in no wise cast out. Now, my friends, I'm going to say, why is it so that the Lord Jesus so emphasizes this truth that they shall not be cast out? Because they're united to Christ, that's why. They are of his flesh and of his bones. They are as the bride to the bridegroom. They are as Christ and his church. My friends are eternally united. And there is a hymn that one has to be very careful, and I trust very in the spirit of reverence. When you quote hymns in this degree, it says something like this: he can't be in heaven and leave me behind. Now that's strong language to a believer, to a seeker. My friends, there's no casting out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, every one of them. The poor and the needy, those that are blessed with strong faith, and those that are blessed with weak faith. Every condition of spiritual experience that the dear child of God comes into, some seem to walk much stronger and much brighter, with more courage, more trust, more faith. Others know more of the temptations of Satan and their own wicked heart. Some have troubles in the breadth, and some in the length, and some in the height, and some in the depths. Some know more of deep soul trouble than others have. But every pathway of the Lord's people, they differ one from another, with one exception. Every pathway will lead them unto this blessed person. And it's no good trying to compare your light, the light that you've had, to the light that others have, or the blessing that you hope you've had with the blessings that other people have. It's no good trying to compare the experience that you have experienced, the teaching that he's taught you, it goes against what other people think that they have been taught and led. My friends, it is as it were as if there was but one person, and one person alone, the Lord teaches, and he teaches personally. Now, in every way, and every time, and every condition, my friends, it covers all these things, all that the Father giveth me. And as we said this morning, they were given to him because they were sinners of the deepest dye. They were ruined in sin by the Adam fall. They inherited, first of all, from their first parents, sin. And they sinned by birth, and they sinned by practice. And these are the characters that form the Church of Christ, that are given unto Christ, upon which he, by his substitutional death, took away their sin, suffered in their place, room instead, and provided for them the atonement, the time of washing. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. What love is there in the Trinity? What blessed love. My friends, this is the ground upon which they were given. They were loved of the Father and chosen. They were given to the Son to suffer and to bleed and to die for. And Jesus Christ, in love to his people, for love's sake, as the Apostle writes to Philemon, for love's sake, he laid his life down for them. Greater love, no man did this than a man lay down his life for his friends. My friends, these are the people, and they shall come. What a mercy these words are written. You know, these are the words of the Saviour, but what a mercy the Holy Spirit recalls these words. Many things which the Lord Jesus Christ did and said are obviously not written in this book. There was a gap in his in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ from the age of 12 to the age of 30. We know not what he did or where he went. But amongst the things that are stored in the holy book of God by the Holy Spirit's teaching of holy men of old is these promises, these precious words of which they which the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken concerning his people, his church, from Adam's day to the end of time. The Church of Christ is in this text. And they shall come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And such is the teaching of the Spirit of Truth, that they will find no peace, no comfort, no mercy elsewhere. You know the case, I said this morning, the case that the father had brought a son to the disciples. And those words strike you now, but they could not heal him. They had not the power to heal him. They were not given that power at that time to heal him. But he said to the father, bring him unto me. My friends, these are those that shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We read of one who was born of thorn. You know, that case, how it was very solemnly shown as living faith. They came to Christ and couldn't get near to him because of the crowd, the multitude. So they went on the roof and took the roof apart and brought him down from the rooftop to the before the feet of Christ, and he dealt with that complaint and honoured the faith that was theirs, given to them. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, my friends. The burdens that they come with, it may be the burdens of others, it may be the burdens of their own soul, it may be the burdens of their families, those near and dear to them. But they come to him. They come to him. I looked at that hymn last night where it says, no help in self I find, but though I sought it well, the native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. I have to learn that, my friends, that they have one who they can come to, who shall not cast them in. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, and I'll come by faith. I'll be drawn, my friends, at him strikes an opening. Jesus draws the chosen knights by his sweet, resistless grace. And I don't know, my friends, whether you understand this pathway, but, you know, even though we hope to be called and taught by grace, there seems to be such unbelief that rises in the heart, in the heart of those that are come. You know, there's many hindrances in the coming unto Christ. No hindrances from Christ. None at all, but hindrances that are formed in the natural spirit of man, or that it may be in the temptations that Satan brings to the mind of the person who is seeking after Christ. Everything and anything which will distress, or which will distract, or possibly, if it could be, prevent them coming. You know what various hindrances we meet when coming to the mercy seat, my friends, and Satan puts those hindrances there. And one's old nature, this old heart that is rebellious, sinful above all things, and desperately wicked, it'll put hindrances in the way. My friends, it's a hard way to come, but there's only one way to come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All they'll come, my friends, but they will be sometimes tempted to give up and call no more on Jesus' name. There will be a waiting for them. I read somewhere recently, whether this is at home, perhaps it was, of that case in this gospel of the man who waited at the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus knew that he was a long time in that place. 28 years he waited there for a blessing. I can't believe, my friends, but there was in his heart that evidence of faith. 38 years to wait for a blessing is a long season. Yet some have waited longer than 38 years. But he did not wait in vain. The blessing came not through the movement of the water, but from this precious person of Christ. All those blessings, my friends, all those mercies, of which the fullness of them are in Christ Jesus. We pray back for a moment, the hindrances that would detain you, would try to prevent you, that would cause you to go back and not seek this blessed person. My friends, how troubled is the lot of the child of God by their own sinful heart, as well as Satan troubling them and trying them, pointing out their sins and their iniquities, pointing out the depths of their falls, pointing out to them that there's no mercy for such sins. It doesn't say that here, my friends. It doesn't give conditions, you know. It doesn't give conditions to come in sinners. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The very coming is the evidence of life, and the very coming is the evidence of faith. You will not come, my friends, to this blessed person, but for the work of grace and faith with him. But then, my friends, Satan may try to distress you by the enormity of the burden that you carry, the impossibility of the trial or of the depths of iniquity that you sorrow over. How that, my friends, is a hindrance to the Lord's dear people. But he doesn't say that there. My friends, there is no condition set in this text for coming sinners. How they come, they'll come by faith. How they'll come, they'll be drawn. Faith will reveal to them that their lives with Christ all that they need. Unbelief may be very strong, it was so, and it is so amongst God's people. that dear apostle of old, who was told of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, suffered with unbelief, and he said, except I see. But he came, and he saw and believed. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, my friends, it's a blessed promise. The Lord write it upon your heart. The Lord so enable you to plead it in these days before him at the mercy seat. And again, as we've always said, as we come, my friends, to the close of these texts and of these services, there's a proving of them, isn't there? You know, it's one thing, never be content with the letter of it. Blessed be God, there is the written word. And blessed be God for the Holy Spirit who has recorded these truths. And many such there are in the word of God for the help of the people of God, my friends, but it's like all promises, it's the proving of them. And this is where you'll rejoice in him. This is where you'll crown him with all the glory and the praise. It's the proving of them in the day of trial. It's the proving of them at the end of the journey when you shall see him as he is without a cloud between. But it is the proving of it also in the pathway that you travel. And him that cometh as he is, with all his burden and his care, him that cometh, here is the promise, let it remain upon us, I will in no wise cast out. You know, as if the Lord Jesus could say, there isn't a purpose in heaven above that gives this casting out, rather there's every encouragement, every comfort in the word of God to come in sin. Well, my friends, tell him the promise. Spread it before him. Remind him of it in your times of need. Blessed words they are, they're written to the people of God. May they and you and I, in walking out of it, prove the comfort and blessing of it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast it.
The notice is today are as follows. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Hadley will preach next Lord's Day. The amount collected from the building fund box at the door for October was £105.20. Let's sing hymn 723. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Hymn 723.
this table in the Lord's table. Do it, we ask in love, as we do it in obedience. Oh, meet us there. Lord, meet us there. Thou this institute, this ordinance. Thou this speak to those disciples. Speak to us there, Lord. For those that listen, those who may have it in their heart a desire to be there. Lord, hasten the day, let's speak to them. And thou bless thine own holy word and forgive, Lord, all that is amiss in the preaching this day in this house of God. May his grace, the Father's love, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us now and forever.